Hallelujah. Glory.
Amen. Let these lips be used for something positive. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you, musicians. Thank you, choir. Thank you, sound booths. And my goodness. I just think we ought to have church, don't you? Praise his wonderful name. So how'd that song go? I was going to keep it to myself, but how do you keep it to yourself? That was a good thought, wasn't it? I'm going to keep it to myself. Yeah, that isn't going to last too long. If the Lord does something for you, you're going to tell somebody. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto the Lord. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to gather together with the purchase of your blood, Lord. Father, we see the whole point of redemption, the whole point of Calvary when we look out across the congregation here tonight. And Lord, certainly we don't limit it here to this congregation by any means, but that's all that our eyes can behold at this particular moment. But we know that you've got elect. We know that you've got seed that you knew would be planted in this hour, that you died for, that you shed your blood for, that you're interceding for, and that you're coming for. And Father, we just thank you so much for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do. Now, Lord, we have need of you once again here tonight, and we're so thankful for all the songs of praise and worship and all the efforts that have went forth. Now, Lord, we want to hear from you as you speak to us according to your word. We pray that you would instruct us, guide us, that you would take your words and hide it in our hearts, Lord. But then, Lord, may we meditate on your word night and day. And then, Lord, may that word produce a positive life in our beings as we go out into the world. Father, may others take notice of us that although we didn't walk with you while you were here on the earth, but yet we're well acquainted with you. We know you personally, firsthand, Lord. May they see your life being lived out in our midst, through our lives. And Father, if there be any thirsty, any hungry, Lord, as the last call is going forth, we pray that you'd use us, Lord, to reach out to love a lost and dying world, Lord, to reach out and to whosoever will, Lord, to all that are thirsty. Lord, we say, come. All that are hungering, we say, come. Father, we just ask now that your presence would be with each and every one in your own special way, and we surely will give you the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So, picking up where we left off this morning, wherever that might have been, we know that it's important the thoughts that we dwell on. It's important what we allow to take root in our thinking, what comes into our minds. And as we spoke about this morning, we can't necessarily help all the things that come through our mind. Now, some things we can help. If we're in the wrong atmosphere, if we're in the wrong environment, well, of course, we're going to have thoughts come through our mind that could have been prevented. But we can't prevent all thoughts. The thoughts are going to come, and we're not guilty because the thoughts have come. But it is our job and it is our duty to arrest those thoughts and take them to the Word. If they wiggle and squirm and complain, cast it out. But if it's of the Lord, it'll joyfully come to the Word. Hallelujah. So we were actually made to speak positive things. It's actually unnatural. Even after the fall, in our fallen condition, in our human condition, it's actually unnatural for us to speak negative things and to be in a negative environment. The first couple in the first garden, they had so many fewer words than we do in this last garden. Just think about it for a moment. All they had were positive words. And now just add a negative word to every positive word and the language doubles overnight. At least. And the law of contrast began to come into view for the very first time at the fall, because man's eyes were opened for the first time to good and to evil. Prior to this, they only knew what was right. There was no other way of looking at things until their eyes were opened to the dark side. Now imagine, they had no words to describe fear. They had no concept of fear, so why would you have a word for fear if there's no concept of it? They had no words for doubt. They had no words for sickness or weakness or tiredness or strain or anxiety or nervousness. And should I go on? Just think of all the words that we've had to come up with in this last day to identify the devils of sickness, the conditions of weakness in our bodies. In fact, so many new terms and words that we have to learn Latin so that we can describe them all. And then all the other languages of the world will use those same Latin terms. So they're universal. Isn't that something? There are universal names for the devils in this hour. And more are identified each day. All the chemicals that are harmful to our bodies, chemicals that we didn't even know existed, and now they've got a name. All the viruses, you know, when the flu comes by and it's the H1, you know, C something or other. Just constantly new names given for these different bugs and germs. Names for how the economy and the stock market collapses. You know, names for how we trade on the stock market, things like that. Life was so much simpler before the fall. Now, when we have a headache, we have to ask, what kind is it? And what's causing it? Is it a migraine? Is it triggered by sugar? Is it this kind or is it that kind? And then once we've identified what kind of a headache it is, then the question is, well, is aspirin effective or should I take ibuprofen or acetaminophen? You've got to have this great big old language just to describe the conditions that you're facing in this hour. The question in the very beginning, the question of how are you doing today? That was a safe question. But after the fall, it started with, well, since you asked, and then you're sorry that you asked sometimes. There were no negative things to speak about. As long as the first family stayed away from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Evil existed in Satan's heart, and evil existed among the fallen angels, but evil, up to that point, had no expression on the earth. Negative had no expression on the earth. Therefore, it was never talked about. Or is it because no one talked about evil that it had no expression? Think about that for a moment. If we never talked about evil, what would happen to evil? You know, it kind of reminds me of the little quote there. If a man speaks in the desert and there's no woman around to hear, is he still wrong? If nobody talked about evil, if nobody gave space for it, if nobody acknowledged it, if nobody drew attention to it, would it exist? It didn't exist before they talked about it. It existed in Satan's heart. It existed amongst the fallen angels, but it had no place to manifest. So does evil exist when we don't give voice to it? Listen, friends, what Paul taught us about what we think about, it's not just so that we're more pleasant to be around, so that we're more likable. No, there's a power to your thoughts. when they become words and then they become expressed. And whether or not those thoughts are even expressed, they're harmful when we hold on to them and give them a place in us. Negative thoughts. Conversely, there's power in positive thoughts. There's power in the thoughts of God, whether or not they're spoken. But one thing's for sure, friends, as we think in our hearts, so are we. So it behooves us to guard our thinking, to watch what we put before our eyes, to watch what we listen to, and to be careful about what we think on. We were listening to a song on the way here tonight, and I just thought it was just so fitting. So I'm going to put the words up here for just a moment. And some of you are probably familiar with this song. I've got heaven on my mind. So we're not going to sing it. We've had plenty of singing here tonight. We appreciate that. But the words go, I started out with Jesus at a very early age. Yes, I've known him nearly all my life. Well, I admit there have been times where I have faltered along the way. But I'll keep trying because somehow I got to make it in. You see, I got a charge on my life. And I've got a job to do. And I can't stop until it's through. I'm determined. I've got a made up mind. I can't stand around wasting my time. I'm going to keep on working for Jesus every day of my life because I've got heaven on my mind. What I'm thinking on is motivating me. What I'm thinking on is creating a vision before me, and what I'm thinking on is what I'm pursuing. Listen to this. I don't have time to waste criticizing someone else. There are some things I'd rather leave behind. I don't have time to be bothered with she said that they said, because it's all I can do to keep my own self in line. Oh, Lord, I must work while this day, because I know the night is surely coming, and I'm going all the way. Hallelujah. I can't understand how some people can move so slow, but they don't know just what time it is. He's coming back, and I know that it won't be long. I got to be ready. I got to be ready for my starry crown. I want to hear him say, well done. Say what you want to say. You can talk about me. Say what you want to say. You can stand around wasting your time. But while you're talking, I'm going to keep on walking. Because I got heaven on my mind. Glory be to God. That ought to be every one of our testimony here tonight. I don't have time. You go ahead and waste your time, but I got heaven on my mind. You're not going to change my thinking by whatever you say or don't say. My thinking is going to determine my destination. And it is changing me. Hallelujah. Listen to this. A few scriptures from the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes 10:12. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. Now, can you picture that image of lips turning around and swallowing the body that the words are coming out of? A fool will be swallowed by his own words. Proverbs 12:18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of a wise is health. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Wow. See how powerful thoughts are that then become words? A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. You're filled by your own words, by what comes out of your own mouth. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So words are thoughts first, which thoughts are seeds, and seeds produce fruit. Many times what people battle the most is not what others say about them or what happens to them even in life, but the very thoughts of their own thinking that are allowed to roost. But I'm so thankful tonight that there's a cure to negativity. It is the positive words of promise, which are the very thoughts of God. So our challenge, friends, is to take the words of God and repeat them to ourselves. You know, we're so eager to go to preach to somebody else, but let those words preach to you for a little bit. And when we speak these words to ourselves, what we're doing is we're cleaning out the channel of our spiritual pathway, and we're actually, science has found out that we're actually burning paths in our brains for those thoughts to blaze through. We're creating little superhighways in our mind. Amen? And eventually, the Lord will quicken those thoughts in our soul, and they will become our thoughts, and they will become our words. Not somebody else's thoughts or somebody else's words. Oh, friends, if we could just see this evening that they already are our thoughts. They already are our words, but amnesia has settled in because of the fall that we took when we came out of our mother's womb and landed on our heads. And those words have to be spoken. And we need to repeat them again and again. Not vain repetition. There's nothing vain about it. But we need to repeat them again and again and think on them until that amnesia lifts. And when the Lord reveals those thoughts to us, it's as if we've always known them. Our thinking changes. With every revelation of His Word to our soul, something changes in our thinking, and as our thinking changes, something changes in our being. Our language changes. And those thoughts and those words that are in us that we meditate on, they change us in return. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Simple, right? But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. That's quite a stiff statement, isn't it? That word idle means slow, barren. Listen to this. Free from labor. At leisure. Lazy. Shunning the labor which one ought to perform. This literally means a vain, thoughtless, useless word that accomplishes no good. That's pretty plain, right? For by thy words thou shalt be justified. And by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You know why I, you know how I know that I am saved? Because I say I am. And I'm saved as long as I say I am. You believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Amen. So negative words are lazy. Negative words come without any effort at all. You ever notice how everybody's a genius in pointing out what's wrong with everything? Everybody knows, well, not only that, it's this, and not only this, it's that, and there's no effort to it. Just rattling on, but to come up with a solution, now that takes some effort now, doesn't it? It's labor to speak positive words. It takes effort to speak positive words. But negative words are lazy, and they're vain, and they're idle. People can't seem to get enough of negative words, though. They say, but if I don't tune in to hear these things on a daily basis, I'll be caught unawares. But friends, that's not where modern events are made clear to us. It's through prophecy, and it's through the revealing of His Word that modern events are made clear to us. I don't need negativity to tell me what time it is. I don't need negativity to tell me what to worry about or what to concern myself with. I need positive words. Focusing on the negative, what that does is it draws attention to the devil and to his fallen angels. It's focusing on his perverted works, and it's drawing attention actually away from our Lord and from the works of our Lord, which are taking place all the time. So we need our minds reprogrammed, and we need to think his thoughts, and that brings him on the scene. And that releases his word to go to work in our lives. So by thinking on his word, by thinking his thoughts, our minds are equipped to withstand the onslaught of the enemy that we face each and every day. And since our enemy is constantly changing his tactics and changes his attacks, if he finds that he's not getting anywhere one way, then he'll change his attack. So we need to constantly feed on the word, so we are equipped to resist him in every attack upon us. And it's only the word that will defeat him. Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, I'm tired. I don't want to think that. I'd hate to live throughout eternity tired. No, I'm not. Well, I'm no good. Well, that's not a good thought either, is it? I don't, I'll probably never make it. As you think, so are you. Now, science is discovering the effects of human thinking, the effects that human thinking has on the human body. And they're just taking it from a clinical approach. They're supposed to be unbiased. They're supposed to approach it and observe and set up experiments and observe and try to draw conclusions from that. They're not looking for a deity, and they're not looking for ultimate truth. They're looking to learn and to gain from what they observe. According to experts, negativity actually impedes impulses from being transmitted between the central nervous system and the brain. So your central nervous system is spread throughout your body, and it's feeding information to your brain, and your brain's feeding information back to tell the rest of your body what to do. And negativity actually impedes the impulses from being transmitted, because the brain cannot interpret impulses correctly. This affects the functioning of the brain and of the body. Now, let's just put that in layman terms. We've all seen somebody under stress or in a negative environment, and we've seen their hand shake, and we've seen them drop things, and we've seen them stumble and fall. You know, if you're sitting at the dinner table and it's a traumatic time, and there's intensity at the dinner table when everybody's gathered together, and so and so's in a bad mood, and you're worried. Well, you're probably going to knock over that glass of milk, and you're probably going to get punished for it. But it's because your nervous system and your brain are not working together because of negativity. We even struggle many times to put words together when we are experiencing negativity. And some will actually get real forgetful, and some will seem to forget even just the simplest of things when they're under negative stress. They go on to say that memory is affected. Sleep disturbances are experienced. Emotional upsets become the order of the day. Immune function can also be affected, resulting in susceptibility to colds and flu. Well, I caught the cold. Well, what was your attitude today? Our bodies are designed to fight off diseases. Our bodies are designed, healing is in your body. Our bodies are designed to fight off sickness. But when we're under stress and we're in a negative environment, things are not functioning as they should be in our bodies. And we lower our body's ability to fight those things off. And we succumb to them. That's why Satan is doing all he can to create a negative atmosphere around you. They go on to say that negativity can also be the result of constantly trying to fit more into an overcrowded schedule. Anybody familiar with that? Studies show that those who lead a competitive, stressful lifestyle or who strive for perfection often have higher levels of harmful amino acid and a damaging protein in their blood, which causes inflammation in the arteries and heart problems. Oh, it's what we're eating. It's what you're thinking. The Mayo Clinic reports that people who focus on positives instead of negatives experience many health benefits. They live longer lives. Thank God that the negative ones don't live longer lives. They have lower rates of mental illnesses, such as depression. They are less likely to suffer from the common cold and cardiovascular disease, and they have better coping skills to deal with stress. Researchers aren't sure why positive thinking can improve a person's overall health. Well, but we're sure. We know in your mouth is life and death. There's health in your mouth. There's death on your lips. It just depends on what comes out of your mouth and what's in your thinking. Negative thinking causes headaches, body aches, and a host of health-related conditions which might not normally incur. While depression is the main culprit caused by feelings of inadequacy, low self-esteem, fear, and anxiety, these feelings will generally result in heart attacks, strokes, and an overall feeling of hopelessness. It matters what you think. It matters what you dwell on. It matters what you take into the senses of your spirit. We are actually inhibiting our body's own ability to fight off the attacks that are taking place daily in our bodies when we dwell on negative things and or have a negative atmosphere around us all day long. That's why you need to create an atmosphere and walk in it. You can't blame it on, well, it's just everything around me is negative. Well, you just change it. You say, but they're negative all around me. I don't care. You don't have to walk in that atmosphere. Create your own atmosphere. And if you do it effectively, they'll either get into that atmosphere or they'll go somewhere else. I've seen it happen, friends. You know, there are certain people that some people never gossip with. Why is that? Because it doesn't go anywhere. Because that person has created a positive atmosphere, and so it's, you know, there's nothing to be gained out of telling somebody that just looks at you. No reaction. They don't, you know, put candles in a cake and celebrate with you. They just look at you, change the subject, say something positive. Well, there's no fun in that. In addition, negative thinking creates stress, and stress is the number one cause of major health problems today. Stress. While it's not easy to say stay positive in a world filled with hate and violence, the idea is to focus on you and your family and what you can control, not on what is totally out of your control. There are people whose lives are surrounded by negativity, and they have been plagued with diseases such as cancer and other debilitating illnesses. Now, you don't catch cancer. Cancer is present in every one of us, and our bodies are fighting it off. Cancer is uncontrolled a cell growth. It's a terrorist cell in your body. Right? And your body is equipped to fight these things off. When people are succumbed to cancer, it's because their body is weak. Their body is defense mechanisms have broken down. And then if you add to that fear, you're creating an atmosphere for it to just rage in. They go on to say there's a certain part of your brain that puts out different chemicals associated with different emotions. So anger, for example, looks different on a cellular level from happy. Wow. Your own body gives it away. And your thoughts can also initiate chemical reactions within your body. For example, your palms sweat when you're nervous because your thoughts are initiating your adrenaline reserves. That's a chemical response from your body to your thoughts. So your body is giving away your thoughts. Your body is telling what you're thinking. So what if you continue to think adrenaline-producing thoughts over and over again? Would your body become addicted to that adrenaline rush? Yes. So one of the main effects of positive thinking is that you are affecting your chemical systems within your body. Wow. Positive thinking actually has an effect on your body. Let's read from the message here. Let him that's weak say, I am strong. See, just say in your heart, I am now strong. I have now accepted Jesus as my healer. And never have any negative testimony anymore. Just believe it. Never have any negative testimony anymore. Just believe it. Oh, but that would be lying. No, you're believing a lie if you believe that. This is actually the truth. And in order to walk into it, you've got to believe it. You've got to confess it. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His will is his word. Let his word have preeminence. Let it be expressed here on the earth. His word is not sickness. His word is not disease. His word is not defeat. His word is not depression. His word is overcoming, and it's amen and amen. My commission. He says, how many is back there in the prayer line now is going to believe with all your heart that you're going to be made well? Believe it with all your heart that you're going to get well. Do you now commit yourself to the Lord Jesus and say, now I accept you, my heavenly Father, as my healer. And by your grace tonight, no matter what happens. Oh, I love that. No matter what happens. No matter what happens, when I'm coming through that prayer line, I accept your blessings. Hallelujah. And I believe that when hands are laid upon me, that I'll get well. I'll never have a negative testimony no more. You got to be honest in saying that you did have a negative testimony. I'm going to believe the Lord. Will you raise your hands and say, I believe that, and I now confess that? God bless you, he says. In another message, he says, now healing is not something that you just say, I believe it. He says, now that's all right. If that's the best that you can do, just mentally, or just, I believe it, I accept it. Then if you accept it on those basis, keep saying it. Over and over. Say it out loud. Say it over and over. Just keep saying, I am healed. I am healed. Say it until you actually believe it. And when you believe it, then it's going to take place. Don't have a negative testimony. Every time when you confess, I still feel bad today. He says, you go right straight back in the same rut that you was in the beginning. There's not a man or a woman in here that is baptized with the Holy Spirit, but would start your confession. I believe I've lost the Holy Spirit. I believe it's gone from me. He says, you'll go right down. He didn't say you're lost. He says, but you'll go right down. Friends, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, these are all the things you need to work on. But if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll never have a bad day. It'll never rain. You don't have to worry about negative thoughts. You'll never have a battle because it's just, floating around on clouds and hallelujah, glory to God. And you're just prophesying to yourself left and right and dreaming dreams. And you're dreaming one right now. Wake up. That's not how it is. You're in the battle. You become a target to the devil. The devil looks over and says, who's that? Obviously, it's not one of my kids. That's a terrorist. That's a terrorist in the kingdom, from the kingdom of heaven, and he's terrorizing my kingdom. I'm gonna send a few guys to keep a watch on this guy. Or this girl. I'm gonna devote certain demons. Friends, it's just a fact. We've got certain demons that have been assigned to us. I'm not fighting demons that you're fighting, and conversely, right? And they know us well. And they know how to torment us. You know, Brother Ron Spencer's, his have to do with accidents, you know. He's got demons that want to trip him off a ladder and, you know, start him on fire. And there's a common thread through there. But the Lord delivers through all of them. Right? If we spent a few moments and looked at each and every one of our lives, we're all battling different things. But it's all the devil. And the sooner we recognize that, the better off we'll be, because there are some spirits that are just waiting for an opening. And Brother Branham said, in that case, there's a place. He says, we all have a punch coming. You say, well, I'm immune. No, you've got a spot that the devil knows all about, and you got to keep that spot covered. Keep it covered in prayer. And the moment that you uncover it, that spirit is right there to push that button. And then you get mad at people. Well, you pushed my button. Well, you just admitted you had one now, didn't you? If you didn't have a button, I couldn't push it. Right? Hallelujah. We got to keep covered up. We got to keep girded up. We've got to equip our minds with the Word of God, the thoughts of God. Praise the Lord. All right, bring the lady. You believe with all your heart, believe Jesus Christ makes you well right now. Go thanking God, saying, praise you, Lord, praise you. He says, don't never have no negative testimony. Testify positive. Jesus has healed me and I'm well. Go and you will receive your healing. Yet you're confessing you're already healed. He says, confess you're already healed and you'll go and receive your healing. Amen. Believe and say, I don't feel any different. You'll never feel any different. You just lost any healing that you could have received, because out of your own mouth, you created the wrong atmosphere, allowing that sickness to remain. Do you realize we give power to these things? Help us, Lord. And again, Jairus, a secret believer, he says, you don't look at your affliction. You keep your eyes on the promise giver. Don't look at the affliction. Look at the problem solver. Don't look at the problem. Look at the problem solver. The Lord Jesus Christ, keep your eyes on his word. He's the one who promised. He watches over it to perform it. He keeps it in the hollow of his hand, and in the depths of his heart, it's bedded. His word has to be true. Listen to this. Get your mind off your sickness, off your troubles, and keep your eye on Jesus. You realize, friends, when we start taking people through the first and second and third pull of our misery, that we're just burying ourselves deeper, that we're actually pushing our healer away from us. We're pushing our deliverer. He's standing there waiting to act on your confession. But he can't move on your negativity. He can't do a thing. How are you feeling today? Well, I ain't no better. I guess so. You know, poor me. Next thing you know, we're blaming God. God, why didn't you heal me? Why am I going through this? He's here to heal you. He's already done it, but you've got to help him. You've got to change the atmosphere. That's the only thing you have control over. Is to say, be it unto me according to thy word. Then I'm going to confess what your word says, regardless of how I think or feel or what things look like. Amen. Jehovah of miracles. Just keep him on your mind. Keep thinking about him, how lovely he is, how sweet he is of his promises. If you're sick, get this on your mind. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I was healed. Keep your mind centered like that. Something will happen to you. All of the sudden, there'll be something drawn nigh to you. Oh, hallelujah. An anointing will come on you. And out of the chair, you'll go. Draw nigh unto the Lord, and he will draw nigh unto you. I want to create an atmosphere with my thoughts and with my words that will draw him. Amen. It's not for any of us as Christians to have to suffer continually from depression and negative thoughts. You say, well, it just runs through my family tree. Yeah, it's time to get cut off of that tree and grafted into another. Some of us will always be a little more susceptible to that than others. But the cure is the same. The cure will work for any of us. Praise the Lord. This isn't psychology, friends, but it's the law of God changing us and keeping us when we think on the right things. So what are some of the effects of negative thinking? The following are some of the most common effects of negative thinking. Feeling down. Big surprise. I don't feel good, and I'm a little depressed, and I kind of got the blues. Really? And what have you been thinking about? The extent of negative feelings can go from anger, frustration, irritability, to even anxiety and depression, passing through many other feelings, and none of them pleasant. Physical effects. The body lowers its defenses as negativity subtracts from our energy. I just feel so wrung out and so wore out. It's because of negativity. It actually is draining you. You think, oh, you know, it just feels like I'm getting weaker. You are. It feels like I have less energy. Somebody that's really depressed feels like just all the energy they can do to just get up in the morning. Why? Because that negativity is draining them of energy. Besides, an extreme negative emotional state can cause eating disorders. And aren't we plagued with that in this hour? Either overeating or undereating. From overeating to a complete lack of appetite, not eating enough and not caring about it. Closing oneself down to possibilities and the flow of abundance. When we are in a negative state, we do not attract those elements that would make our lives advance. Rather, we attract the circumstances that support us in thinking that something is wrong and we get stuck. It becomes self-fulfilling. We're actually creating a world by our negative thoughts. Simply put, when we stay thinking negative, we attract negative emotions and events. Thus, when one is in a negative state, everything seems to go wrong. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Luck is not a real condition. Luck is a lie. There's no such thing as luck. Your footsteps are ordered. There's no chance in your life. Negative effect in others. Have you ever wondered how you may be affecting other people because of the way you feel? Usually people that are thinking negative thoughts aren't thinking about other people, because if they stopped and thought about it for a moment, they'd realize the effect they're having on others. Think about when a relative, a friend, or someone at work seems to be having a bad day and how you feel when you come in contact with them. You kind of just want to move away, don't you? You could be making others feel the same way when you are wrapped in your own negative thoughts. Conversely, you could put smiles on people's face when you're smiling. One of the serious effects of negative thinking is that it causes physical illnesses and disease. In fact, Dr. Lewis Hay states that the ingrained negative thoughts and negative feelings that are not released can even cause cancer. Well, it don't matter how I think, huh? It does. The average person I don't know how they know this. The average person has over 30,000 thoughts a day. Through an uncontrolled thought life, we create the conditions for illness. We make ourselves sick if our thought life is uncontrolled. Research shows that fear, all on its own, triggers more than 1,400 known physical and chemical responses and activates more than 30 different hormones in our body. Fear does that. Therefore, there are intellectual and medical reasons to forgive. Even science backs up forgiveness and the power of forgiveness. Toxic waste generated by toxic thoughts causes the following illnesses: diabetes, cancer, asthma, skin problems, and allergies, to name just a few. Now, they're not only caused by those, but they can be caused by those. Consciously control your thought life and start to detox your brain. Now, this is science telling you, look, forget about whether there's a God or not. Do this and it'll work. These are laws. But the Word of God has already told us that. Medical research increasingly points to the fact that thinking and consciously controlling your thought life is one of the best ways, if not the best way, of detoxifying your brain. You know, people have spent all this money to put something on their feet to draw out heavy metals. Why don't you work on your thoughts? There's where the heavy metals are. Quit listening to heavy metal music, too, while you're at it. It allows you to get rid of those toxic thoughts and emotions that can consume and control your mind. You're holding a grudge. It's toxic. You hold a grudge, it's releasing chemicals in your body all the time. It's actually hurting your body, and it'll hurt others. Right? And when you release it, you lose that toxin. And you're free. The average adult has 300 negative thoughts per day. Wow. About one every 2.5 minutes. Nice hairdo. Not really. According to Midwest Center for Stress Control. There's another phenomena that's called the nocebo effect. I just saw this for the first time the other day. I got these eye drops that you have to put in your eyes for 6 weeks, and there are three different kinds. One's a steroid, and one's a, you know, like a acetaminophen or something, and one's a antibacterial. And so you're supposed to read the instructions, right? And you actually ought to do that. The first bottle I had of this steroid. Thank you very much. Yeah. If you read the instructions, it says that it's got a bunch of stuff that's in suspension. So you got to shake it. And if you don't shake it, then you're getting, you know, you're only getting certain amount of chemicals, and then towards the bottom of the bottle, you're getting zapped, you know? Well, who needs those stinking instructions, right? But as I'm going through it, you know, I read, ran across this word nocebo. I'd heard of placebo, but never nocebo. A phenomenon called the nocebo effect may explain why some people report side effects that are not related to the medications that they are taking, according to a new report. Most people have heard of the placebo effect, in which people on an inactive drug or therapy, they experience improvements in their symptoms. In other words, the drug that they're giving them is, there's no benefit to it. It's not even a drug. It's a blank. But they think that it's helping them. And they get better. Researchers compare new drugs to placebo to gauge the true benefit of the therapy. A placebo effect can make people feel better, but sometimes a dummy pill can have the opposite effect. Believing that they are taking an active medication, some patients develop side effects when taking a placebo. This phenomena is dubbed nocebo, or do-si-do, or whatever. Yeah, it's dubbed nocebo. That sounds like a Mexican dish. I'll have the nocebo, please. This phenomena is dubbed nocebo, which means I will harm in Latin. Placebo means I will please in Latin. So we're speaking Latin all the time. We don't even know it. The nocebo effect may help explain why people taking real medication sometimes experience side effects that do not seem to be caused by the drug. According to Dr. Arthur J. Barksky and his colleagues at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, Massachusetts, these so-called nonspecific side effects can have serious consequences. The researchers note in February 6th issue of the Journal of American Medical Association, such side effects may cause patients to stop taking medications or physicians to discontinue effective drugs because of the side effects, which are caused by their thinking. In review of medical studies, Barsky's team identified several factors that seem to be related to the nocebo effect and nonspecific side effects of active medications. The power of positive thinking may account for some of the placebo effect, but negative thinking has a power of its own, according to the researchers. Wow, science is backing up the Word of God, whether they admit it or not. Patients who expect distressing side effects before taking a medication are more likely to develop them. The power of suggestion can be influential as well. In one clinical trial, the authors reviewed patients who had been warned of the possibility of gastrointestinal side effects of a medication were much more likely to experience such symptoms than those who had not been told of possible side effects. It's in your mind. It's in your thinking, and your body reacts. Nonspecific side effects. I wonder what kind of lies we're telling ourselves and that we're believing. You know, no doubt the devil gave you that thought, or one of his imps gave you that thought, but it becomes your thought after a while when you accept it and give it a bedding ground. I wonder how much sickness we're suffering in the body just out of wrong thinking. Take your halo off for just a moment. We can all benefit from this. All of us. Nonspecific side effects may be more common in people who have experienced side effects while taking medication in the past, the report indicates. Barsky and his colleagues also assert that patients with certain characteristics, such as anxiety and depression, may be more likely to experience nonspecific side effects. Why? Because they're looking for them. What a person knows about a particular medication, and even the color, or the name, or the shape of a pill, may influence nonspecific side effects. Friends, it's no coincidence that, back in the 60s when... everything was just, they just went out of their way with, I suppose they still do. I don't see commercials anymore, but I remember back in the 60s, your child is sick. So they'd say, take St. Joseph's aspirin, and the idea is some godly priest, or some dead guy actually, but some godly, you can trust this. It's St. Joseph's, It's planting a thought, or the vitamin that you give your kids is little Flintstones, And I don't know why that would be a good thing, but kids will receive it, because of what it looks like or whatever. Actually, the effect is not on the kids; it's on the parents. The parents are the ones that are, well, this will be safe for Junior. Really, because it looks like it would be, because it conjures up an image. One study found that more than 90% of people who had been classified as allergic to penicillin were able to take oral penicillin. It is possible, according to the authors, that some patients who were fearful of having a bad reaction to penicillin misinterpreted symptoms that were not caused by the drug. In another study, patients taking blue placebo pills were more likely to report drowsiness than patients taking pink ones. You can't make this stuff up. The researchers point out that in one study, patients associated red, orange, and yellow pills with stimulants and blue and green ones with sedatives. There's no, you know, it's not a coincidence that NyQuil is green. NyQuil puts you to sleep. The one that they give you, the DayQuil, it's red. And you just believe that it's going to keep you awake. And it does. So what can be done? The report suggests physicians and nurses should get training in how to better communicate with patients to avoid instilling negative suggestions. When my grandson was born, first thing, oh, he's got some, you know, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious and, you know, ooh, that's the last thing that, even if it's true, what are you doing? Such a traumatic thing and a life coming for it. You don't need to hear stuff like that. Even if it was true, what can you do about it at that moment in time? Patients may not need as much information about the bad things that might happen. You know, I go to airports, fly on planes, go to restaurants, and you can't get away from, you know, there'll be a TV set in different places, right? And you can't get away from, I've just seen a few of these commercials for, you know, they'll show a gray-headed man and a gray-headed woman, and they're just so happy, and, you know, they got their sweaters around them, and, you know, just having the time of their life, and because they're taking this certain drug. And it's just changing their life. And then you hear them, well, it may cause depression, it may cause death, it may cause sudden this, sudden that. And you go, ah! Why would anybody take that? Those words don't match that picture they just saw. Running and playing and running by the spring. And some people have suicidal thoughts. How much of that will become suggestion? But yet they got to cover themselves, don't they? We have to consider reducing the amount of negative information on potential side effects given in patient briefings and prescription details. Did you know that up to 95% of physical health issues are a direct result of your thought life? This is what science says. Whenever you have a thought or an emotion, your brain releases neurotransmitters and hormones, which trigger physical responses in your body. If you're caught in a stressful situation and you react to it with a negative thought or words, your heart starts racing, and your body releases two powerful stress hormones, cortisol and adrenaline. When these hormones are secreted in response to continual stress, they have very negative impacts on your body. They accelerate brain aging. They increase fat storage. They suppress your immune system. And they cause muscle and bone loss. Wow, that's pretty dramatic, isn't it? Negative thoughts, weight gain, huh? There must be some other factors. I know some pretty positive people that, well, anyways. You can't stop external stressors in your life, but you can control your response to them. If you get into the habit of thinking positive thoughts and speaking positive words in these circumstances, friends, it takes an effort. It can become a habit. A whole lot of negative thinking and negative speaking is just a habit. It's what we've developed. We do it without thought. But if we can do that negative without thought, how much more can we do the positive? Speaking positive words in these circumstances, your production of, even if the negative thoughts arise, your production of stress hormones will decrease and you will begin to lose body fat more quickly. Wow, a new diet. Haven't heard of this one before. What is it? It's the positive thinking diet. Our thoughts and emotions, well, you know, I feel sorry for people that struggle with weight. It's just one other problem that, you know, we all have different struggles, right? But a lot of people that struggle with weight also struggle with negative thinking, right? We all struggle with something. I'm going to get myself into trouble. I'll just keep digging, keep digging. I struggle with not being able to gain weight. And I will assert to you that it was just as traumatic to me as somebody that was struggling the other way around. But people that were struggling the other way around couldn't believe that. You know, that because they wanted to be like me. Now, I won't say I wanted to be like them, but I wanted to be a little more like them. You know, you grow up and because of you know, maybe you're under stress and it's having the opposite effect. It's causing you to lose weight because it can. And people say, well, you know, if you stand sideways and stick out your tongue, you look like a zipper. Right? I mean, there's no end to what people can come up with. And you can get a complex. And I'm not bitter. I obviously don't have that problem any longer either. What I'm trying to say is whatever we're struggling with, I'm sensitive to that. And we're not singling out anything and saying, you know, if you're struggling with this or that, that you're a bad person. It's just things that we struggle with. Our thoughts and emotions are represented in the body as electrochemical reactions. These chemicals are constantly floating around in our bodies and they are stored in different places. The research is clear that negative thoughts and the associated harmful chemicals have detrimental effects on our health. You can control the degree to which harmful chemicals float around in your body by adjusting your thinking patterns. So there's another good reason to think good thoughts, isn't it? Start by making a deliberate decision to change how you are thinking. This is therapy. This is a doctor's prescription here. And it's getting quiet. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Isn't the Bible a whole lot easier? The Bible just says, think on these things, you know. What is everything good? You don't have to know that it's releasing cortisol and adrenaline and, oh, my God, it's out of balance. And just think good thoughts. It all just works out. Now let's go back to the message of the hour for a few moments. That be okay? Blind Bartimaeus. I think we quoted this morning, but we'll quote it again here. He says, when you get to thinking about divine healing, get to thinking about Christ, keep him on your mind. If there be any praise, if there be any virtue, the Bible said, think on these things. If anybody comes by and says, well, maybe it could be so, maybe, he says, get it off your mind right quick. Think on the things that's positive. Never let a negative thought pass through. Never means never. Never. Well, I'm just going to, you know, that's what, you realize, people that start fires, they never intend to burn the town down. I'm just gonna. I remember being in the basement of our neighbor's house in Montana. I must have been, it was pre-kindergarten, so what, about 4 years old? And I remember finding a box of matches by the furnace. Cool, right? We didn't have matches laying around at our house. So my parents didn't smoke, and, you know, so take a match, light it. Oh, that's cool, man. Wow, look at that little flame. Then I got the thought, I wonder what would happen if I drop a lit match into the box. Why would you want to know that? I did. Whoosh. My eyelashes are singed. My eyebrows are gone. My sister's playing with the neighbor's kid in the basement. She's a year younger than me. I panicked. I think the box of matches was near the, you know, there was a laundry chute. You know, if you guys familiar with that? In your bathroom, there's a little hole in the wall that you drop your drop the laundry through. And it ends up in the basement. Well, there was a pile of laundry, and I think the laundry started catching on fire. Well, I just panicked. I went upstairs. And my mom's having coffee with the neighbor, you know. She looks over, and she says, "Douglas, why are your eyebrows singed?" Next thing you know, "Do you smell something?" Yeah. "I never intended to start that fire. I just..." Right? He says, "Never let a negative thought pass through. But Satan wants to entice us." I mean, I don't mean literally Satan himself, but spirits. "Well, just..." Well, I'm just going to tell you this, Brother Dutch, but I'm not going to say any more because that would be tattling. "I'm just going to tell you..." And then Brother Dutch says, "Well, you didn't tell me enough there. Well, what about..." "Well, I could never tell. I'd be tattling now." "Well, since you asked, now don't tell anybody. I'm only telling one person. Don't you tell anybody else." I'm using him because he doesn't do this. Well, then Dutch says, "Okay, well, I'm just going to tell one person, just like you just told one person." Right? That's all you need to do. Don't tell anybody. Never let a negative thought pass through. Don't let it stop anyhow if it starts to. Keep your thoughts positive. This takes work. This is not idle. It's not lazy. It takes an effort. It takes less effort when you start doing it. It takes a lot more effort if we're not used to doing it. Is that right? He says, "Don't think sitting there in a wheelchair that you're hopeless or helpless. You're not. Don't let that negative thought ever pass through. Don't let it anchor. You can't help it from going through your mind." That's right, but don't let it stop. Like the old farmer said, I can't keep the birds from flying over my place, but he had a double-barreled shotgun and said, "I could sure keep them from roosting." So you do the same thing, and you too. See, don't let them roost. Let them pass right on through. Now here's the shotgun to use. Both the New and Old Testament, a double barrel, very good too. I tell you, it keeps them all away. How many knows this works? I want every person in here to have this in your mind. As soon as prayer begins to go for the sick, every one of you is going to get up and walk out of the building well. Don't have nothing else in your mind. Keep thinking that. If there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. You cannot get anything from God with a negative thought. God's not impressed with your sorry, sad story. God using his gift. Don't think that kind of a negative thought. Don't let it go through your mind. Make every word positive and every thought positive. See it? You know, the disciples after the resurrection of Jesus, Cleopas and his friend was on the road down to Emmaus. And as he went around talking about Jesus, thinking about Jesus, he stepped right out of the bushes and walked with them. While they were thinking on, while they were meditating, that's the same way Jesus does today. You want to walk with him along the way? Think on him. You can't think negative thoughts and think on him at the same time. In my heart, on my mind, all day long, let me walk with the Lord in the light of his word with the heavenly dove. Let me have fellowship all day long. Some people are plagued. They are prisoners to negative thinking. something happened to them in the past. Maybe they had a father that beat them down. Maybe they had a father that never let them speak, and all this negative energy was coming at them. If it isn't dealt with, it will affect you your entire life. It will eat you up like a cancer. It will affect every relationship. It's just a fact. The cure is to think positive thoughts. Let the word purge us to wash us. He says, you have a very strange nature that is a deep thinker. You deep thinkers, listen now. We got some here. This is not somebody's got a backache in the building. In any crowd, you're going to have some deep thinkers. You have a very strange nature that is a deep thinker. Always crossing bridges before you get to it. It's always a bad thing. It never happens the way that you plan it to happen. And by that, it's developed a peptic condition of the stomach, giving you stomach trouble. Overthinking can give you stomach trouble. That's right. Isn't it right, sir? If that is right, raise your hand, which it is right. Couldn't be nothing else. God Almighty knows it. Now you throw aside every negative thought and go home and eat your supper and praise God and give Him praise for it. And you know, it's usually when we're thinking about God and keeping our minds on God that God comes close to us. I think that's one of the greatest troubles of the people of this day. We have too many other things on our mind. Even when we come to a healing service, we seem to think, well, I didn't get a prayer card tonight, or perhaps I'll not be prayed for. We will never be able to accomplish much as long as we keep those kinds of thoughts. Let's be positive in our thinking. Let's stand. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe we could help one another with this. And you know how we can help one another? Here's how we can help one another. By not being self-righteous. Well, I'm not listening to that stuff. Shame on you. I can't. That's not helpful. You ever been around a type of person that will just flip like that? And they expect everybody to flip like that? And you're just waiting for them to flip-flop the other way? You can almost set your clock to it. You can chart it like the tides, you know? When they get religious, everybody's supposed to get religious. When they throw their TV out, everybody else is supposed to throw theirs out. You threw yours out, right? That's not helpful. Right? Well, I know who needs this. Boy, preach it, Brother Baker. I've been waiting for you to preach this. Man, pour it on, man. Hey, man. You know how we can help one another out? Say something good. Be nice. When somebody says something to you and it pushes your button, say something nice. That's how we can help one another. Don't preach to each other. You know what the worst effect of this? I mean, I've had to deal with this in my own life. You think just being a pastor means that you're always a pastor? I get it thrown in my face. Well, weren't you saying here the other day? Where's that at, pastor? Well, that wasn't helpful. This is kind of like the temperament thing, you know, that we went through where people say, oh, well, listen to those bad things about that temperament, man. I'm sure going to remind that person. That's not what it's for. That's not the point of it. The point of it is for you to think, for you to think good thoughts. That means you're not thinking about the other person. Right? It's a negative thought. It's actually a negative thought to think my brother needed that. That's a negative thought. Because you're not trying to be helpful. Right? You're irritated. And you want them to quit irritating you. Right? But what about how you're irritating them? Maybe they just got a little more God in their life so that you don't know what it is that's irritating them. Some of us don't tell everybody everything that we think or how we feel in every situation. Right? Because we're all made up different. We can help one another by bearing with one another. And we can help by one another by saying something encouraging. Somebody starts saying something that's maybe a little negative, just change the subject. And I don't mean rudely, but just genuinely think of something good to say. Genuinely. Right? The best way to change something is to love it off of somebody, right? Because what we don't want to, if you attack the spirit that's troubling a person, that spirit's going to react, right? But if you connect with the person, then just ignore the spirit, right? Just ignore the spirit and connect with the person. That person will love you. That person will think a whole lot of you. Amen? And that'll cause that devil to leave. And I don't care who you are, we all have demons trying to put thoughts in our minds. That's the battleground, right? Our job is to grab a hold of those things, cast them down in our own thinking. Don't cast your brother or sister down. But start with yourself. The best thing you can do for somebody is to create a positive atmosphere. Right? Create an atmosphere that can change their atmosphere. Right? I hope I'm getting through tonight. Without you trying to change them. You see what I mean? Without you judging them or, right? Because that's negative. Nothing good's going to come out of that. But just focus on the positive. Say good things. Heard about the woman that Brother Bradman was telling us about that no matter what, she said good things. And somebody tried to get her to say something bad. And so somehow they brought up the devil, and she said, well, he's a good adversary. She wouldn't even say anything bad about him, right? He is a good adversary. He's a worthy one. He's on the job 24/7. He didn't take a day off. He's working. The wages of sin is death. He's working his way to hell. I just pray that for all of us, myself included, that, you know, as we think on these things, that this not just be something that, okay, well, that was a nice little service that we had, and then let's move on to the next thing, but let's apply this. Let's be positive. You know, especially out here in the West, where Brother Bram said he suffered more in Tucson than any, he said it three times, suffered more in Tucson than any other place. He said, no fellowship, no this, that, and the other. And just saying those words, your thoughts go, yeah, that's right. Forget about that. You just be different. You be the rose that's planted in the desert. You want a rose to stand out? Put it in a setting that causes it to stand out. Put it in a desert. You'll appreciate that it's a rose. Praise the Lord. Amen. If the musicians would come. You love them? Was that good? Well, you have to say that. Well, I know you got to say it was good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Ain't God good? Ain't God good? He gives us so many blessings undeserving. That's what we are. We ought to thank Him, love and praise Him.